Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I'm so glad that you could make it. And I am looking forward to whatever God has for us on tonight. Amen. So again, I want to welcome you in the studio. I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. We normally do our opening, our intro. That's the song you just heard by the lovely Hattie Hollingsworth. But I'm going to play another song. I want to set the atmosphere. And again, I normally don't do this, but I want to set the atmosphere. I want, God move forward this evening and bring forth this word, I want it to be an atmosphere of worship. Amen. So I'm going to play another song to set the atmosphere. Okay. And so we're talking about an additional maybe 3 minutes or so. I won't make it too long. I don't want people to think that they're down into the wrong show. But let's see. Okay, so we're going to play another song. And after this song, the next voice you will hear will be my voice, and we will get straight into the Word of God in there. So we're going to play another song, and then we're going to get into the Word of God.
I can feel it in this place tonight. Spirit of the Lord is here, breaking chains up, lifting heavy loads. Hey, yeah. Something's happening in this atmosphere. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. something prophetically right now. I can see a new day dawning. I can see a breakthrough coming. And joy comes in the morning. Breakthrough, breakthrough. I can see a new day dawning. I can see a breakthrough coming. And joy comes in the morning. Breakthrough, breakthrough.
Tonight, we're going to get into the word on tonight. I'm not going to drag tonight out, but I am going to be obedient to what God would have me to share on tonight. So we're going to get straight to the word. If you could open up your Bibles, we're going to come from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is going to be our foundation of what we're going to build on tonight. And let's just see where God takes us, where the Holy Spirit takes us. So I'm going to start with the reading of God's word. Again, Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 24. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Father, we thank you for your word that you will bring forth on tonight. Thank you for giving us a foundation to stand on. Father God, no longer I, but you that live inside of me. I die completely to self, that your spirit will bring forth a rhema word for your people. Lord, I pray that the word on tonight will penetrate our hearts. Lord, there's so many that's going through so many things, so many storms of life. But Father God, I thank you that your word will reveal on tonight that there is peace in the storm. So Lord, have your way. You are invited on the studio on tonight. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we were chosen for a time such as this. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, hallelujah. So we're coming from Matthew on tonight, and I'm probably going to be back and forth, but that's our foundation. Everything I'm going to do is always going to be led with a biblical foundation, which is the Word of God. And then I'm going to build from that. We can't add anything to or take anything away from Scripture. The Scripture is. It is, period. But I believe that we could read the Scripture and lay the foundation, and I believe that through our testimonies, through us sharing maybe some life experiences, that helps people know that if God did it for me, if he's doing it for you, that he could do it for them too. Amen? And that's what it's really about, because our whole job on this earth is making disciples, period. You know, the Great Commission was go out into all the nations and share the gospel. And so that's our job here. So if you think your job is merely about just getting married or having kids or having a good career or getting rich and famous or becoming any of that stuff is irrelevant. We only have one purpose on this earth. Everything else is extra. Everything else is just the benefit. For us as believers, everything else should be the benefits of being obedient. So when we do it, when we handle God's business, God take care of our business. And when we're obedient, there's blessings and there's benefits to being obedient. And no, we won't always be perfect, but we got to be obedient because there's blessings in that. So we laid the foundation, and the reason I laid this foundation because the last couple of weeks for me have been storms. They have literally been storms. It's like I'm getting in one thing, I get out of that, and it's something else. Then I get past that, and then it's something else. So it's been one storm after another storm after another storm. And I, at some point, initially, I didn't even realize that I was going through the storm. Amen? I didn't realize I was going through the storm. Yeah, I might feel the ache here or pain there or a thought there, but I didn't even realize that I was going through the storm. And then it dawned on me, by the time this last storm hit, it dawned on me, I'm going through some storms. And so tonight we want to talk about peace in the storm. And I'm going to, you know, just like it is, I believe that God, first of all, let's maybe agree to disagree or agree to agree. I believe that God allows storms and he brings storms in, you know, in our lives because when he brings storms, he allows storms. Let me say he allows storms in our life because it brings us back to him. Because normally, and a lot of people, which is not necessarily a good thing, but a lot of people, when they're going through a storm, it pushes them towards God. You know, going through a storm could cause so many different emotions, and the first one is hopelessness. And when we're feeling hopeless, we have a tendency, and we should run towards God. Amen. But I believe on tonight, we know that God is there, and we know we could run to God. But I believe on tonight, God wants us to be he don't want us to be reactionary. You know, we just react, right? So I believe tonight that he's going to be reminding us, for those of you who know and for those who don't know, that there's a preparation that needs to take place so that you will be prepared for the storms. And just like it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. There's preparation that can prepare us for the storms of life. Have you ever, some of you, and hopefully many of you have traveled throughout the U.S., and have you ever noticed when you go to certain regions, there's a lot of brick houses and beautiful brick houses. Like, I'm from California. I'm from Southern California. Guess what? If you find a brick house, it's rare. That's just not the norm. You know, you're going to find probably mostly stucco, but you're not going to find a lot of brick houses. California doesn't have a lot of storms. Matter of fact, maybe in history there's been something, but it's not typical for us to have hurricanes and tornadoes and things like that. So when you go to regions that have these things often, you'll find certain precautionary measures that these houses have that will help them weather the storm. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I also live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So in Tulsa, there's a lot of tornadoes, right? So it's because there's a lot of tornadoes, there are certain precautionary measures that I'm sure the builders have done for the houses that will help the houses stand strong. Texas, a lot of hurricanes. You'll see a lot of houses in the Texas region, and I'm sure many other regions that build out of brick because brick is strong. It can withstand the storms. And so going on and on and on, basements. You got places that got basements because of certain weather conditions and you know, houses that's brick. And so all these different things based on the region. So in the spiritual, there are things that we could do to prepare ourselves so that when the storms of life begin to hit us, we know that we're prepared and we know that we're solid because the storms are going to hit. The storms of life are going to happen. I guarantee you that. Just as sure as you're going to live, just as sure as you're going to die, that in-between time you're going to face storms. Does life always have to be a storm? No, but you will face the storm. And the key here is not to wait until the storm comes to start trying to prepare for it, which often that's what we do. Oftentimes we will, you know, we don't, our prayer life could be rocky. We don't know our word. We don't spend time in our word. And then what happens, a storm of life hit, and we broke it. We tore up. You know, and we're affected more than we probably need to be affected just because we weren't prepared. And so when we're not prepared and that storm comes, just like in the natural, you know, if you know that a storm is coming and you out in the storm, you risk injury. You know, if you know that a storm in some areas like Florida, they know ahead of time when that storm is coming, and they prepare. And for people who didn't prepare, either by evacuating or boarding up their windows and doors, if they didn't prepare properly, a lot of times they're the ones who see the most damage. And not only just damage, fatality. So we all can kind of agree. Now, some things we just can't get around. Maybe there's some people that just didn't have the resources to prepare. I don't know. But we could all agree that those who haven't prepared probably have experienced the most loss. And I believe spiritually that happens to us too. When we don't prepare, we will deal with so many different spirits. We deal with emotional fatigue. Some of us die spiritually when we're going through something. Some people, instead of running towards God, they run away from God. Some people just go into a spirit of depression and oppression. People become hopeless. People become stressed. And then stress begins to affect the body and break the body down. And so now we're dealing with all these other elements because we didn't prepare. We didn't prepare for the storms of life. And the storms of life are many. It could be anything. It could be anything from, you know, marriage issues or issues with your family or your children, financial issues, health issues, death, disease. These are things that's going to happen. But are we prepared? Are we prepared? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that in the natural, I'm going to talk about the brick house. And the reason I'm going to talk about the brick house, because from what I understand through research and my study, is that a brick house is one of the best houses that you can build or that you can have. When a brick house is built properly, a brick house is sustainable. It will weather the storm. And so I believe that God wants us to be like brick houses. He wants us to be like brick houses because he wants us to be able to weather the storms of life. And so in a brick house is, the bricks first and foremost are they're geared to be able to withstand storms. Brick houses, they say that, you know, most storms are probably not this high, but there's winds that can get up to 150 miles per hour, and a strong built house, let's not say a brick house, normally could take winds up to 150 miles per hour, like a concrete home. But they said that a brick house could sustain winds up to 185 miles per hour. That's some heavy duty wind. That's some winds that's gonna tear some stuff up. But it won't tear up that brick house. You know, of course there are some disadvantages to brick houses. They are expensive. Coach D, why are you talking about brick houses? Stay with me. Don't get bored. Hang in here because you're going to get the message. Brick houses could be very expensive. Brick houses are generally 6 to 10 times more expensive than a normal house that's built with stucco or vinyl or wood or whatever. Brick houses cost more. Why? Because they're more durable. The other thing about brick houses is the deterioration, because bricks are porous. Did you know that brick breathe? They're porous. And so they're vulnerable to weather conditions, meaning not so much that they'll tear up. Oh, they'll keep you safe. But when not properly maintained, you could deal with dampness, mold from dampness, damp conditions. You know, they could begin to grow plants in them, all kind of things. Those are some of the disadvantages. But again, that's something that happens when you're not maintaining them. When you're maintaining the problems like anything else, if you got a car and you're getting your tune-up and your oil change on time and you're giving it the proper maintenance, most cars will take you through many years. Amen? Many years. So that's the two disadvantages to brick houses. But when you think about all the advantages to the brick house and how durable it is and how it will sustain you through the storm, then you could understand why you would want to spend more. Same thing with a prayer life. See, it's going to cost you something because you're going to have to take time. You may have to wake up a little bit early in the morning to have a prayer life because most of us don't want to wake up in the morning. We don't want to wake up at our normal time, and we surely don't want to wake up a little bit earlier, but it's worth it. It's going to cost you something. What is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you sacrificing maybe some sleep, So instead of waking up at 6 o'clock to get ready for work, you may want to wake up at 5:30. You may want to give yourself that extra 30 minutes to begin to have a prayer life. A prayer life is important. This is one of the things you need to prepare for the storms of life, is a prayer life. What are some other things that we need to prepare, that we need to do to be prepared for the storms of life? First and foremost, okay, we said a prayer life, but that's down the line. Because first and foremost, you got to make sure you know God. You can't just know about him. Oh, I heard about him. I know about him. You got to know him. That's intimate. And you're going to know him and get to know him through what? The mind of God. What's the mind of God, Kosti? The mind of God is the word of God. And so that means that you're going to have to get into the mind of God. What thus said the Lord? What is the Lord saying through his word? Are you reading his word? Are you spending time to read his word? He doesn't, you know, the good thing about God is this. I don't see anything in the Bible that tell us spend an hour here, spend 20 minutes here, spend 30 minutes here. The good thing about God is he hasn't dictated to us time, but he wants some time. So if you get up in the morning and you decide you're going to spend 15 minutes reading his word and 15 minutes in prayer or 10, you know, something, start getting to know him. Start dating God, spending time with him, getting in his word, communing with him. You know, the word of God says pray without ceasing. And when people take the word of God literally, it don't make sense. See, when I was taking the word of God literally and it said pray without ceasing, I was thinking, Lord, how can I pray like that? How can I pray all day and all night? How can I pray when I'm sleeping? But then once I started spending time with God and I started reading the word of God, and the Spirit of God began to grow in me, then I started getting an understanding of the word of God. I began to get revelation of his word. And it was no longer the letter that was speaking to me, but it was the Spirit of God speaking to me. And when the Spirit of God began to speak to me, what I realized is that I found myself, my posture in my spirit was a posture of reverence. But see, my posture wasn't on my knees. My posture wasn't a certain thing, but my mind and my heart was stayed on him. I mean, I could be anywhere. I could be at work. I could be on my way to work, and I'm having conversations with God. Me and God are talking. He's pouring into me. I'm listening to him. And so we're having conversations throughout the day. Because when you start building that relationship, you'll find that you're having conversations throughout the day. And it doesn't have to be always something so formal as we think that we have to get on our face or we need to get on our knees. But God is with us all the time. It's not like we go to his house, knock on his door, oh, he may not be at home. No, he lives inside of us. Greater is he what? Inside of us than the evil that's in the world. So he lives inside of us. He walks with us. He talks with us. So there's nothing. He's with us. He knows our thoughts. So if he knows our thoughts, and we're, so the only thing we have to do is what? Be mindful of our thoughts. We have to be mindful of our thoughts. So when our thoughts begin to not be the thoughts of God, then we might have to pull ourselves back. You know what I'm saying? We might have to, you know, whoa, come back. Get back in line. He said, if we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are we perfect? No. We are spirit. Spirit housed in flesh. We are going to have to experience what this flesh is going to do. That's natural. It's going to happen. However, we have dominion. God has given us dominion, right? Because when Jesus came, that's what he came for. And so people have this tendency to just think, okay, I'm under grace, I can do what I want to do. But even Paul said, just because you could do it don't mean it's beneficial, right? Just because you got the freedom through grace doesn't mean that you just go and run amok. Just because, you know. And so we have to get to a place where we understand, yeah, okay, God, you know, through God, by God's grace, you know, through the blood of Jesus, yeah. But is it beneficial? Sin is not beneficial. Period. So I don't care how you want to twist it around, It's never beneficial. Why, Coach D? Didn't God forgive us? Surely God forgave us. He said he forgave us from as far as the east is from the west. He said he forgave us 70 times 7. And he's going to keep, you know, it's already done. We're already forgiven. But let me tell you why sin is not beneficial. It's not beneficial because sin holds consequences, right? There's law, like the law of gravity. God put the law of gravity in place. And guess what? Yes, God's grace can be sufficient. The sufficiency of God's grace means that if you jump off a building, his grace may be sufficient enough that you'll be able to walk away from that, right? But then it says, don't test the Lord your God. So sin comes with consequences. If I jump off of a building, I'm going to fall. It's called gravity. That's the law. The law is not going to be broken. It is what it is. I'm going to fall. There's other laws that's in place. There's consequences to sin. The other law is sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, what you will reap. So you can't expect to plant an apple seed and think you're going to get back a watermelon. That's not the law. The law is each seed produces after its own kind. Humans don't produce dogs, and dogs don't produce pigs, right? So we want to, men's whole, in a sinful nature, men's whole existence on earth from a sinful nature has been trying to defy the law. Everything they do, they're trying to defy the law. Instead of just lining up to what God says and what the law is by grace, they're always trying to find a way to defy the law. But the thing is that sin carries consequences. And so even though you've been forgiven, the consequence is still the same. So what do you mean, Coach D? So I could go in and rob a bank. My family hungry, I'm hungry, I don't have no money. So I decide I'm going to go in and rob a bank. So I go in and rob the bank. I get away with it for a few days while they're trying to figure out who I was and where I'm at and, you know, why I robbed the bank. But in the meantime, I done got this money. Now me and my family is eating good, and, you know, I may have been able to buy a few things. But the consequence of that is if I get caught, I'm going to prison. You see? Now, while I'm in prison, God has, if I ask for forgiveness, God has forgiven me. While I'm in prison don't mean that if I die in prison, I ain't going to heaven, especially if I repent. But the consequence is just because I repent, just because I have remorse, and now I hate that I did what I did, the consequence is not going to change. I'm going to be sitting in prison. Same thing with sin. We think we get away with stuff when we do things that's outside the will of God, but really, do we? Maybe it may not be something as drastic as jail. Maybe just the guilt or the shame of what you did is enough to steal your joy. Maybe the guilt or the shame of what you did was enough to steal your peace. Maybe the guilt or the shame of what you did is enough to not let you sleep at night. You see where I'm going? So some people make some decisions. They done did something. They know it's sin. They done already asked God for forgiveness. But sometimes we are asked God for forgiveness, and God done forgave us a long time ago. But we don't even forgive ourselves. And the fact that we don't forgive ourselves causes more damage than anything. And not only do we not forgive ourselves, because oftentimes those who are hard on themselves and don't know how to forgive themselves, guess what? They do not forgive others. And you cannot walk a kingdom walk in unforgiveness. That includes yourself. You can't. Because if God forgave us, then God's theory is short and in layman terms. If I forgave you, you should be able to forgive others. And by all means, you should be able to forgive yourself. And many people are walking around in guilt and shame and unforgiveness. And God, that's not something that he's pleased with, because it's called condemnation. And condemnation leads you away from God. And conviction leads you towards God. Religion puts you in bondage, takes you away from God. Relationship gives you liberty and it brings you toward God. Somebody need to hear this. It's simplistic in nature, but a lot of times we get so holy, we get so religious that we miss it. And we miss God and what he's doing. So I could sit up here and tell you don't sin, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But it's got to be something more to it or why you shouldn't do it. It got to be something more to it. And what the more to it is the consequence of it all, the law of it, that there will be a consequence to disobedience. And disobedience is sin. Amen? So we're doing preparation. God wanted us to hear that. But we're doing preparation. So we're saying, okay, we're going to get prepared for the storms of life. The storms of life will come. I've been in some storms. I've been tossed to and fro. The winds have beat it up against me. My body hurts. My body's sore. My emotions are sore. My mentality right now is sore. I mean, everything's sore, and the only thing that's still standing is my spirit and my hope and my joy. Amen. And my joy and my peace. So despite everything I'm going through, and we know when a storm has come, right? So even when you're living in a brick house, when a storm comes, you in your house, right? Your house, you inside your house haven't felt the storm. But when the storm is over, you walk outside, you know you've been in a storm. Amen? Right? You got debris everywhere. You got trash everywhere. You see other people that didn't have brick houses and pull up. Maybe some people's glasses broke. Roofs have flown off. So you know that it's been a storm. So same with life. Yes, we know. Other people may know when you've been in a storm. You know when you've been in a storm, right? But the thing is about it is you're still standing. Why? Because you was in preparation. What you mean, Coach D? First of all, you know that you know God. So you know that you know your Heavenly Father. You know him. How you know him, but do you have a relationship with him? Yes, you have a relationship with him. Why? Because you've accepted his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So if you have confessed it with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, guess what? You are saved. So you know God. You solidify knowing God by accepting his gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Now you treasure God's mind in your heart. You treasure God's mind. In other words, you treasure his word in your heart. That means you spend time in his word. And as you spend time in his word, the spirit of God that lives inside of you feeds off of his word. So when we're reading the word of God, we're feeding our spirit. And when we're feeding our spirit, it strengthens it, which in time strengthens us. And so when we're strong in the word of God, guess what? When the storms come, we're prepared. We know what we're supposed to do. We know how to take shelter. We know how to speak his word over the situation. We know how to stand on his word and his promises. We know how to go to Psalm 91. You know what I'm saying? We know where our safety is. We know that God is with us. We know that no matter what's going on in the outside, no matter what's coming up against us, no matter what storms of life taking place, no matter what's beating against our structure, we know that God got us. We know that we got the victory. And sometimes we have to know that we got the victory whether we live or die. Because either way, we got the victory. If we live, we got the victory to glorify and testify to the goodness of God. And if we die, it's the same victory. Because now we to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we prepare. We treasure his word. So we know that God is God. We've accepted his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. We're treasuring his mind, the word of God, in our heart. So now it becomes in us. You know, it's in us. So whatever's in you comes out of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now his word, we're speaking his word, it's coming to mind. You know, I know some people say, I didn't memorize scripture. Guess what? I may not be able to tell you exactly where everything is, but the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance things. And praise God that guess what? The devil didn't come up with Google. You know, God gave somebody the wisdom and the witty idea to come up with Google. So now when a certain scripture comes to your mind and you don't know how to find that scripture, all you need to know is a couple of words or a sentence, and you can find out. Thank you, Jesus, for Google. When we use things for the right thing, then those things are good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's man that distorts those gifts and distorts things to make them evil. But every good and perfect gift is from above. So our next thing outside of the Word of God, as we talked about in the beginning, is we got to make prayer a vital part of our life. We have to have a prayer life. Prayer is our conversation to God. But just as important as we need a prayer life, we need a worship. We need to understand worship. And worship is extravagant respect. We have to have worship. It's important to have worship just as much as it's important to have prayer, because worship takes us into the presence of God. I often say, this may not be the truth, prayer is me talking to God, but worship is God talking to me. And I believe it or not, yes, I think prayer is important, and I will pray. I will pray. Yes, not no but, because I'll pray. But it's something about worship. It's something about being in the presence of God and God downloading into you, God speaking to you, God giving you dreams, visions, and ideas, God telling you when, where, and how to do it. That's when he gives most people that have, that's God, and then people that have a personal relationship with God, most people got their most revelation through worship, being still and knowing that he's God. And worship is being still and knowing that he's God and allowing him to speak to you. So prayer and worship is vital to your part of your life in preparation for the storms of life. And practicing his presence daily. What do you mean, Coach D? I believe that's the worship part, because you know, being still, you know, I was telling you that some of my best time spent with the Lord in conversation is those times where I can't speak because I'm somewhere where I can't talk, you know, and if I could just tune out, like driving to work for me is one of those times where I'm in his presence, you know, I'm not talking. I'm just, you know, a lot of times I put on my worship music and I'm in my worship music. Or even, you know, nowadays, for those of you that don't know, they got Bible and audio. So let's just say there's a certain book or scripture or something, you know, that you want to read or a chapter you want to read. They got it on audio. So while you're driving, you know, while you're going, those are things you could be doing. You could be, you know, you could just put on your worship music and let it minister to you. You could put on your audio, your Bible audio, and let it minister to you. Let it feed your spirit. It changes the dynamic. It could change the dynamic of your day. I'm saying this because I got to do this too. I don't always do this. Some days I get into my office and I allow the stress, the storm, to just pound up against me. And sometimes it affects me. I might walk out of there with a broken branch. I might walk out with a cracked window, you know? So that's, you know, so again, preparation. And do you just prepare once for a storm? No, because every time people that got prepared for the storm last season or 2 months ago, if they hear another storm is coming, what they do? They start preparing for it. But you be prepared, you know? Be prepared. Sometimes the storms happen unexpectedly. Are you prepared? Is your gutters cleaned out? Do you have a storm window? Did you put storm windows in to prepare for the storm? You know, did you build your house with brick? You know, brick and mortar, is it strong? You know, these are things that you do to prepare, because there's some unexpected. And when unexpected storms come, if you got proper preparation, then guess what? You're going to have limited damage, if any at all. And that's based on a storm you didn't know about. Of course, it would be foolish to know a storm is coming and not be prepared, right? And sometimes in life, a lot of storms come that we don't know. You know, the sudden death of a loved one, that's a storm that comes you don't know. You know, an accident or somebody gets injured or, you know, somebody walking out on you, whatever the case may be, some things we just didn't know. It took us by surprise. And those, so if you're being, if you know, they got to say it, you know, the kids got to say it. I don't know if the kids got it or the adults, but it's not biblical. But it says, but you could use it for biblical purposes. It says, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that's the truth in the natural and in the spiritual. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So when those surprises come up, when those things come up in life that normally would take people out, that would normally have people stressing, that would normally have people committing suicide, that would normally have people in some mental institution, those things that come up, and you see I said normally because for us, it ain't supposed to do that. Why? Because we got a house made with brick. Why? Because we have a prayer life. Why? Because we know God. Why? Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Why? Because we are in worship. Why? Because we surrendered ourselves to Him. Why? Because we have a repentant heart and we know when we went too far. We know how to ask for forgiveness. Why? Because we see it before we saw it. Why? Because we belong to Him and we are children of the Most High. So we got the preparation. And the storms of life are not supposed to come in and take us out. And what I mean by take us out, have us so discombobulated in life that we can't function. And I know that's easier said than done. And I don't want to be a hypocrite, but this is the word. This ain't got nothing to do with, this is the word of God. This is what God is saying. He's got promises to us. He's telling us that He's our shelter. He's telling us that He's the eye in the storm. You know, if you know anything about a storm, there's an eye. There's a center in that storm. There's a place in the middle of a storm that you could get into. A lot of pilots know this. But there is a place that you could get into in the middle of a storm where there's nothing but peace. And it's called the eye of the storm. Don't believe me, Google it. And you could get it, and that's what God said. I'm the eye of the storm. And if you in me, you in the eye. And so no matter what the turmoil that's going on around you, no matter what you see, no matter what it is, there is a place in the center, and that's where your peace is. And you can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can stand in the midst of the storm. The storm don't have to always come to destroy. Not you. Why? Because you've been prepared. You prepared your house as a brick. You prepared one of the things you want to do is reinforce. You know, you make it impact resistant. And so we're making ourselves impact resistant, just like homes would do. Let's say, you know, one of the things you want to do is reinforce. What you reinforce? What we reinforce it with the Word of God. We reinforce it with the Word of God and with our prayer life. Those are things that's reinforcing us so that we could be resistant to impact. The second thing is resistant doors. Houses have to get resistant doors. There's certain doors you want to have in certain regions for certain storms. You want to make sure those doors are strong, that they can't just be blown open, right? So you have to make sure that they're impact resistant. That means maybe you might have to get the highest quality wood or steel or whatever it is you need so that that door can be, same thing with us, the door to our gate. Coach D, what you mean? We have gates. We have gates that the enemy can perpetrate if we don't have resistance. You know, so we have to protect our doors. That's our ear gate, our eyes gate, our nose gate, our mouth gate, for all of our anal gate, our vaginal gate. These are all access points. Ooh, with the storms of life. And sometimes those storms come with the enemy that they can enter into. So we got to make sure that they're resistant, that they can't be impacted. How do we do that? So we got to make sure that we got the storm-resistant windows and the doors. How do we do that? We do that by watching what we give our attention to. We got, you know, some of us can't watch everything on TV and think life is going to be smooth. So we're opening up ourselves. You know, some of us sit up and watch certain things on TV. You know what you watch on TV that you know that ain't pleasing to God. How you know it's not pleasing to God? Because if you was watching it and you thought God was coming, guess what you're going to do? Change the channel, cut off the TV. You know, we all know those guilty pleasures of things that we really like to watch or we really like to do. We know those things. But guess what we're doing? We're causing ourselves to not be as resistant against the impact of the storm, of the attack. So the storm is an attack. So we're causing ourselves not to be resistant. So we got to watch what we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we taste. Who you sleeping with? Hopefully it's your husband or your wife, but who you sleeping with? See, we got to watch who we're allowing to enter into us. Is it easy? No. But these are the things that will break down our resistance. These are the things that can allow the wrong spirit to enter into us. And then you got the enemy within. You know how they say sleeping with the enemy? So guess what? You can have all the steel doors. You can have all the brick house. You can have all of that, right? So let's say you got a storm. This storm is bringing rain. We're going to say this is a Katrina. This is Harvey. Harvey brought a lot of rain, right? And so as long as the water didn't get in the house was good if it was a strong built house, right? But what happens once the water get in? It's the damage. So sometimes we're building a building these houses and stuff, and we're trying to keep the enemy out. We're trying to keep the enemy out. And little do we know, we got the enemy within. We got the enemy within. So we got to be careful what we give our attention to. Because whatever you give your attention to, what? That spirit comes and lives inside of you. So you want to make sure you're giving your attention to the right thing. Yeah, we got guilty, but some of us like to watch certain things. I get it. But don't let those things become your all in all. If you spend more time watching television, if you spend more time watching reality shows than you spend it with God, it's time to do a check. It's time to do a checkup. You know, if you're spending more time doing this than you're doing this, out. If I step on somebody's toes, if I just step on my own toe, just say, house, out. Hallelujah. Because the truth will set you free. And we know some of us, we ain't got time. Ooh, I ain't got time to exercise. Ooh, I ain't got time to pray. I'm running. I'm busy. I'm going crazy. I got to get to work. I got this. I got that. I didn't have enough time in the day. Well, what are you spending your time in the day doing? Because if you're telling me you don't have enough time, but you're spending 2 or 3 hours on social media, surfing the web, but that could have been 15, 30 minutes that you could have took to be in prayer or reading the word. You see what I'm saying? It's our prioritizing. And a lot of times, we just didn't make God the priority. If the truth be told, a lot of times we just did not make him the priority. And this is not a guilt trip. This is just something to think about. What are you spending your time doing? If there's 24 hours in the day, can you account for your hours? Can you account for what you're actually doing? And I guarantee you that most of us will find that we got a lot of wasted time doing stuff. You know, we spend 80% of our time doing stuff that's only going to bring us 20% benefit. And 20% of our time doing stuff that could bring us 80%. You see how we got our priorities mixed up and we got to get on target? It's called preparation. It's called preparation. You know, FEMA tells the world, you know, FEMA is a federal emergency management agency. So they, you know, they're the ones who tell the world, you know, what's durable and what's acceptable and what's going to give you the most impact resistance and, you know, how many miles per hour can a steel home manage and how many miles per hour can a brick home or a concrete home and what the windows need to be with. It has, you know, they done went out and they done the research and they done the study and they know that a window has to be yay so thick and the panels have to be a certain. They know that. They study that to help people with emergency situations, right? And so they're the ones who come out when mercies happen and there's damage and destruction. They're generally the ones that come up to the federal government saying, okay, we're going to give this amount of money to this area so that we can give it to the people who really need it because they, you know, they went through something terrible, right? So that's what FEMA does for the world. But see, that's what God does for us. That's what God does for us in his word. You know, you can look at Proverbs or you can look at Psalms and FEMA. If it reads you, it tells you about a squalling woman. It says it's better to be on a hot roof. You know, it tells us about wisdom. Let wisdom have a, you know, that, you know, seek wisdom. It tells us about patience. Let patience have a way. It's our FEMA. It's telling us, you know, it's telling us what we need to do. It's telling us how to navigate through this thing called life. It's our FEMA. It's preparing us. It's getting us prepared for the storms that's going to happen. It's trials and tribulations. He said, let it all be joy. So it's preparing us. The word of God is preparing us. But if I don't listen to FEMA, if I don't pay attention to FEMA, which I don't, that's the truth, but I know who they are. But if I ain't listening to FEMA, who tells us about the storms of life, or don't listen to CDC that tells us about all the sickness and disease, if I'm not listening to them, then guess what? I don't know what's going on, and I don't know how to prepare, right? That's the natural. And the spiritual supersedes the natural. It says, let it be done on earth as it already is where? In heaven. So if that's the case, then it's the same thing. God is our FEMA. His word prepares us. It navigates us through life. It helps us not to be so damaged through this thing called life. So it's important that we get into his word. It's important that we spend time with him. It's important that we begin to prepare. It's important that our houses are brick. You know, the scripture that we started off with in the beginning when we started the show was Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And it says, everyone then who what? Read about every man that, you know, heard through the grapevine. It says everyone then who hears these words. So he said, tonight you're listening to a word. This ain't just Coach D. This is the word of God and by the Spirit of God. So you heard tonight. So he said, if you hear these words of his and you don't, I'm just paraphrasing, and you hear the words and you do them, then you're wise. He said, you're like a wise man. You built your house on rock. You got a strong foundation. You got a strong foundation, and no matter no matter what happens, no matter what falls, what floods, what winds, or what beat, basically, another scripture said the gates of hell will not prevail. So it said, no matter what happens, you don't fall. You're not going to fall. Why? Because he got you. But then it goes on to tell you. That's what you have to hear. But then it goes on to tell you that if you don't, if you hear these words and you do not follow them, then you're foolish. You're kidding yourself. And what's going to happen? That stuff that's going to come in life is going to come and it's going to tear you up. It's going to take you down. It's going to have you broken. It's going to have you broken. It's going to have you hopeless. It's going to have you wanting to, you know, it's going to have you going through mental challenges, and it's going to have you, you know, hopeless. It could do some damage, even unto death. If you hear those words and don't do them, you're not preparing yourself for the storm. It's almost like suicide. So we want to make sure we're prepared. We want to make sure that we're doing what we need to do so that when the storm of life hits us, it don't take us out. I'm not saying, Cozy, I'm not saying that you won't feel the effects of it. I'm not saying that you might not find yourself sick in your body. I'm not saying that you might not find yourself sad or in grief or, you know, or going through. I'm not saying you won't feel the effects. What I'm saying is that they're not going to damage you. The storms are not going to come through and damage you. You are prepared. You are on a solid foundation.
He said, it will go, it will be, it will rain, it will come up against you, the winds will blow, you know, all of that stuff. But it said, but you won't fall. So, Father God, we want to just thank you on tonight for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you made it practical, that we understand it, Lord. Father God, we want to thank you, even though we know that the storms will come. But, Father God, that you prepared us for the storm. We've taken advantage of your preparation for the storms of life, Lord. Father, that we could stand, that we could stand in the storm. Father, that we could still trust you. Father, that we could surrender to you and be obedient, that we could hear your voice and we know it's you. Father God, that you will give us all that we need, that you will provide every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you're working all things together for our good. Why? Because we love you and we've been called according to your purpose. Father, we just thank you. You are amazing. Your grace is sufficient. We thank you that you cover us, that you're faithful, that you tell us that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Father God, that you love us enough that you continuously give us avenues to hear your word, to see your word, to know your word, Father God, that we'll get it into perception. I thank you, Lord, that each and every person listening tonight did not hear the letter, but that they heard your spirit, Father God, where the power is. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place on tonight. I thank you for your navigating, Father. I thank you that you had your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you all, for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that the Lord will be with you all. We know the storms are going to come. I want to just say a special prayer and shout out for my family. We had a loss. I lost my cousin, brother-in-law, on Tuesday. And so just keep our family lifted in prayer. That's a storm, you know. So keep us in prayer. Keep my cousin in prayer because, you know, she lost her husband. And I said my cousin, but I also say my sister. I'm really, really close with. So just keep them in prayer this week. I thank God that she's been prepared. You know, you never don't hurt, and it doesn't say that we won't hurt, and it doesn't say that we won't have the emotions of grieving and missing and the sad, those things. But guess what? She's prepared because she knows that he knew the Lord, and she knows where he's at, and she knows that she knows the Lord, so she knows where her strength comes in. In those days that she feels like she can't go any further, she knows how to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. So just keep them in prayer. I want them to know that we are praying for them. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you that tuned in tonight. Know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated. And I look forward to being with you next Thursday, same time, same place. Good night.
If I do what your word tells me to surrender.